bu ba bam, ba bu ba bu ba ba, ba bu ba bu ba bam, ba bu ba bu ba bam, ba bu ba bu ba ba, ba bu ba bu ba ba, ba bu ba bu ba bam, ba bu ba bu ba ba.
Hello, Bill.
Hey, Wendy. Wendy, welcome to the bonus hour.
Thanks for having me.
Thrilled to. You know, I've seen in my lifetime, I bet I've seen 5,000 baseball games, maybe more.
That's a
probably
lot.
Probably more. It is a lot of baseball games. Not always the whole game. Sometimes I'll just get an inning or two or three. Sometimes the whole game. Last night I was watching a game and I fell for, I like to think I'm smarter than this, but I fell for something, hook, line, and sinker.
What did you fall for?
The Cubs are in a situation now where whoever they put at shortstop gets injured, right? You've had a couple of your top, Javi Baez, you know, he's got a
maybe
a fracture
out for the rest of
thumb.
The season.
True. Should the Cubs make the playoffs, they think he'd be back, but it looks like he'll be out for the season. Addison Russell got hit in the face with a baseball the other day, so he's out. So the Cubs went to their double A team.
The shortstop store?
The shortstop store, yes. And they said, give us one Nico Horner. So here's a guy, he goes straight from double-A baseball to the big leagues. No experience in triple-A, no experience in the big leagues. He plays his first game with the Cubs yesterday, went 3-for-4 with 4 RBIs, was amazing, made some great plays at shortstop. Young kid, 22 years old. They talked to him after the game. He was so excited, you know, to be up. He was watching a baseball game. He got a call from somebody high up in the Cubs going, hey, we need you quick in San Diego. We've got a situation. So he shows up and he does great.
Dreams come true, man.
It proves that dreams come true. Here's what I fell for. He's up in the second inning and gets a couple of pitches and then takes a swing at a ball and gets a hit, gets his first major league hit. So what happens in the major leagues when a guy gets his first hit is, or any milestone, they throw it into the dugout so that that player then, you know, when the inning is over and when the game is over, he's got the ball. He can bring the ball home. Hey, this is my first major league hit. You know, it's amazing.
I didn't know they did that.
Oh, yeah. They do it with almost any milestone. You'll see a pitcher do it. If a pitcher gets like his 1,000th strikeout or something, they'll throw the ball into the dugout for the guys just to keep it. So he gets the hit, this little bloop hit. And they throw it to the dugout, and the Cubs get this guy, Jonathan Lucroy, who's one of their catchers. He runs up, and he gets the ball, and then he looks towards the crowd, and he points at some kids in the crowd, and he flips in the baseball.
Because that's what they do.
And I'm at home going, no, don't give those kids the baseball. Give the guy who got the hit the baseball. And then a half a second later, Jonathan Lucroy shows that he used the old hidden ball trick.
Stunt baseball.
He's got the ball. He used the stunt baseball. I fell for it all the way.
I would not have fallen for that. I'm so much smarter
than that, but I was mad at Jonathan Lucroy. I go, you can't do that to a guy who just got in the mid. What are you doing? But then the old hidden ball trick.
I didn't know they threw it into the dugout, so I guess I would have fallen for it, but I wouldn't have thought it was weird because I would have just
There's
said,
always
oh, he's throwing it to a fan.
A guy, like sometimes it'll be a coach or the equipment manager. He'll make sure that he goes out of his way to get the ball to present it to the guy.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is nice. It is nice.
I like that.
So that's it.
All right. Well,
that was the bonus hour.
You were bamboozled.
I was fooled once again.
I have something I'd like to talk about, and it's going to be very strange coming from me. I feel sorry for Sarah Palin.
Can I tell you something? In a weird way, I do too.
I know.
I didn't expect that.
All right, well, it's been...
And her husband.
Well, he's the one who filed for divorce.
I don't want to see anyone's marriage go up in flames.
Yeah, I don't either.
Even people... I'm not the biggest Sarah Palin fan.
I kind of was at first.
Were
I really
you? Why?
At the very beginning, because I thought, wow, this is... I kind of like her folksyism... And
Don't you think she played it up a bit,
though?
Yeah,
well, then as I got to watch, but the very first time I was exposed to her, I'm like, well, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And then the more, kind of like me, the more you know, the more you hate. And that's kind of what he
Is that true?
Well, with some people.
That's not true.
No, I just, she really, really, as I got to know her more, I really didn't like her.
Yeah. What took place that made you feel that way? How did you go from liking her? Because I was never on board with her. You know, the only thing I liked about her early on was I kept seeing how her approval rating in Alaska was so high.
Yeah.
And I always think there's something to that, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I listen politically. I really wouldn't mind listening to both sides and hearing. Let's be honest. We all vote in a way that is best for us in our lives. And that's how it should be.
Yeah, right.
You know?
But you know the stories about where they had, they weren't just coaching her. They had to, like, rebuild her. Like, they would do these sessions where they'd have to explain to her, you know, after she was announced as the vice presidential nominee, they'd have to have these sessions with her, almost like flashcards with a kid, like a third grader, where they'd have to say to her, okay, we're going to throw the name of a country out, and you tell us, is this country our ally or our enemy? You know, they would do stuff like that, because she was so new to the, not to politics, because, you know, she was running Alaska, but to the national politics, to where they thought, you know, we're in a situation now where she could really hurt us, so
right.
we have to make sure she knows key things that she didn't know.
Well, I started disliking her a little before that. I mean, at first, being a woman, it was like, okay, well, maybe we have something going here.
Yeah.
I kind of liked her when I first was introduced to her. Not personally, but like, oh, this could be something.
Yeah.
And just the more she talked, the more she did, the more, you know, I still felt bad at her son got into some...
couple of times.
It was arrested.
And her daughters at a party. Do you remember that?
And then I felt bad, you know.
And there was a domestic abuse case with her son and her husband not that long ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
And was it Bristol that got pregnant out of wedlock? And I just felt bad. It's like, you know, but that's why I kept saying, you know, you have to watch what you say to people because you never know what situation you're going to be in.
Right.
And it just seemed like things were kind of spiraling out of control. And I've started recently to kind of feel bad for her. And now her husband filed for divorce, and his reason, he cited, quote, incompatibility of temperament that made it, quote, impossible to live together as husband and wife. I don't really know what that means.
I've never heard that phrase before. I mean, I guess you could argue that in a lot of separations and divorces, it's essentially what you just described.
They're
it's
incompatible.
Incompatibility of temperaments, right?
So they fight a lot? Incompatibility of temperament.
It's so sort of vague on what exactly that means.
Well, his temperament is one way, hers is another, and they're incompatible. All right, I get that. Impossible to live together as husband and wife.
And yet they've done it for years and years and years.
31 years, I think, they've been married.
So that's a good long time. But I wonder what the last straw was. What was the thing? He just went, all right, I am out. I can't do this anymore.
I don't know why I'm dying to know. And even though I still feel sorry for her, I feel sorry for both of them. You're right.
It's horrible. A marriage of 31 years is dissolving. They've got 5 kids. That, you know, you wouldn't wish that on somebody, right?
The filing includes the date that the couple got married and the birth date of their 11-year-old son, Trigg. He's their youngest. It asks for joint custody of the boy. The other Palin children, Bristol, Piper, Track, and Willow, are all adults.
Boy, they go exotic on the name sometimes.
I like it.
Don't they?
Yeah, I kind of like it. The news was first reported by an independent journalist in Alaska, and it was kind of in Morse code because they didn't really have names, but it said instead of using their names, the filing only uses the initials SLP.
Who's that for? Why are they only using initials?
Sarah... something Palin and TMP with Todd Mitchell Palin. So the news was first reported by this independent journalist. Representatives for Palin and an attorney representing her husband did not immediately return messages from CBS News. Todd Palin always called, I kind of liked this too, he called himself the first dude of Alaska when his wife served. Do you remember that?
I do. Yeah.
It kind of made me laugh.
Yeah.
She was there from 2006 till she resigned in 2009. And then that's because she was going to run for vice president. She shot to national fame in 2008 after John McCain chose her as his running mate.
Which isn't true.
He was told to.
He didn't choose her.
Yeah.
She was thrust upon him. And he was none too happy from what I've read.
Because I liked John McCain, and I considered maybe even voting in a different direction.
Yep.
And at first I was like, okay, well, she's kind of cool. And then it's like, oh, honey, stop talking. That's kind of how I felt.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They had been together for 31 years. I think they were high school sweethearts and got married. And it, I just feel kind of sorry for her. And him, I guess. I got to throw him in there, too.
But isn't the wording on that incompatibility of temperaments, that's really intriguing to me. Because I, like I said, I guess you can make the argument in a lot of separations and divorces that, that's what it comes down to, is that she and I, we feel differently about major things, but I've never heard it worded that way. Because it's kind of vague. It kind of leaves open to interpretation what exactly that means.
Do you need to have a formal reason other than, hey, it's just not working anymore? Can't you say that? I've never been divorced.
Well, they always
don't plan on it, so I don't know what to say.
They always law it up a little bit in the description, you know, because essentially it's exactly what you just said. It is, we gave it a shot, we had a run.
We're not, ran it's out not
of,
working.
Yeah, it stopped. It, that should be the grounds. It's, hey, sometimes it just doesn't work anymore, you know? But I'm anxious to see if it's ever elaborated deeper as to what exactly that means.
Well, this is just 4 hours ago from the BBC, and I trust the BBC.
Please read it with a British accent.
Hello.
Now you're fine.
Papers filed in Anchorage, Alaska.
Why is the BBC behind this? Why isn't it our own?
I could get it somewhere else. I just took the most recent.
Oh.
This was 4 hours ago.
Right.
Sarah Louise Palin, SLP. They identify the couple's marriage date and the birth date of their only child, who is a minor, Trig Palin. That's not their only child.
No. They're saying they're of the five children, he's the only one that's a minor. The
other I'm
four
sorry.
Are
yeah,
of adult
you.
Age, so they don't need to get custody of the other four, just of the youngest one. Of Trask, did you say? Which one?
No, Track, isn't it?
Track. Track?
Yeah.
That's
his name, isn't it? There's Trig, Track, Chemistry.
They're all named after subjects
swimming.
In school? Really?
I think so. I don't...
Their daughter, Homak, is she mentioned at all in this?
Trig, T-R-I-G. They love
trigonometry. And
that's
not short for anything. That's just it, right?
That's, I don't know. Mm. I would say it's short for something, but I don't know. She and...
Todd?
All I know is... Todd is a commercial fisherman and an oil field worker. She had gone on to appear in several reality shows, none of which I watched.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know she was in a reality show. Was she on a View-like show for a while? Or am I imagining this?
I don't think she was on that. She was on some show called, like, Sarah Palin's Alaska or something like that, which was like a travelogue show.
Really?
Yeah.
She also has a lucrative career as a public speaker and has published 2 best-selling books. She championed the grassroots Republican Tea Party movement and was also a vocal supporter of U.S. President Donald Trump during his 2016 presidential campaign. I remember that now. I had forgotten about it. No new information from the BBC. I just kind of felt bad when I heard
did
that.
Too. You know what's strange? Like I said, never a huge fan, but the same thing. It's like, oh, that's too bad.
I don't like to hear of love lost, Bill.
No. That's terrible, right?
Yeah.
I get the same feeling when I drive past an empty shop. Like, you know how you're driving around the same route every time and you go, there used to be a bakery there and now the bakery's gone and that means somebody's dream went away. I get that same feeling when I find out people get a divorce.
I get that same feeling sometimes when I went to a thrift store yesterday. I had to go get a blood test for my...
Do it at a thrift store.
Well, no, I just got the needle at the thrift store and then went to the lab.
Oh, that's all right. That's much better.
I had to get a blood test for this tick bite that I got. Yes. I'm going to see my doctor at the end of the week, hopefully. I'm sure everything's fine.
Tick is one of the Palin kids, isn't it?
No, that's Trig.
Trig, I'm sorry.
And I went into this resale shop that was nearby because I love it. I love going to Goodwill. This was just an independent one. And I went in and I found myself just really upset about a lot of things. There were some China sets that I'm like, oh, you know, either the grandmother died or the family split up. And then I always get so sad when I see like leashes and dog bowls because I'm like, oh, their dog died.
Dog is gone.
So I had to leave.
Yeah.
I couldn't look around anymore. There was a pocket fisherman I almost bought you.
That would have been so cool. Could you make a rule for yourself where you are not allowed to create a backstory for any of the items you see in a thrift store?
I can't do that.
No, you wouldn't do it?
I can't make that promise.
Well, but just think that if you take something there, you know, you can give it a happy... You can give it a happy ending.
Kim's onto something there.
All right. I like where you're going there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Is that better?
It just makes me sad because I care more about other people than I do my own family sometimes.
But I know. We all do. But don't you think, though, they cared about it enough to give it to Goodwill rather than just
throw
chuck
it away.
In the trash?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So... And this was a little independent store, so the proceeds went to some charitable thing in the neighborhood.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
They
all right.
Out.
Do you ever see...
make me feel better.
Okay, good.
You know how every once in a while online they'll show these pictures of either deserted shopping malls or amusement parks?
Mm-hmm.
Those pictures are impossible for me to look at.
It's so
I always
sad.
Do. But you just think to them in their glory days, in their heyday, when there were people everywhere enjoying themselves, doing whatever they were doing. No. And then you go, and now it looks like this.
Well,
it looks
honestly,
like Planet of the Apes.
I mean, that is what a lot of shopping malls are becoming now because they're just...
I know.
The stores are empty.
I know.
Empty storefronts everywhere you go.
I worked in Lincoln Mall for a couple of years when I was in high school. And there were times, like during the Christmas season... where you literally could not park at Lincoln Mall. Every single parking space was gone. And now that the mall is gone because no one shopped there anymore. And I think to myself, how could the same exact place where it was wall-to-wall people be a ghost town? What happened?
I know. It's really sad.
So the damn Sarah Palin has ended up bringing me down
right
now because I felt sorry for her.
Rightfully so.
What's Hot, What's Cold, sponsored by American Weathermaker Seating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. We started this conversation talking about what's in the news. What's Hot is their divorce after 31 years, and I don't like to see it go kaput.
Right. Right.
Well, I saw this morning when I was watching TV that they had some problems a while back. There were some... accusations of infidelity
on whose part?
Things going
on his
didn't
part?
Say, didn't say.
Because he filed for divorce. Maybe he found someone else.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yes. You can't. Some people do go on beyond that, and I applaud them for it because that is...
it's hard to get over.
It's a lot of work, I could only imagine.
Yes.
But I'd be, no, bye-bye.
Yep.
See you later.
Yep.
Fool me once, you're out. Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah, that's the old saying. Yes, yes, it is. All right, well, we'll take a break and then more show. Phil and Wendy, WGN.
I was ready to put the 90 degrees temperatures away.
I like this cool,
me too.
Crisp.
Yeah, yeah.
Fall air.
I have been inspired. Kim, you only came in toward the end, but we just spent a good deal of time talking about the divorce of Sarah Palin and her husband, Todd Palin.
And we feel bad.
We do feel bad. Not fans
feel
of theirs,
bad.
But
I mean, you know what? It's never good for anybody. And maybe you come out better on the other side, but you can't help to somebody, you know, suffers a little bit.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I have to say one of the happiest aspects of my life as a kid was there was never a single night in my whole life that I felt like my parents could or would get a divorce. Like a lot of my friends... we're under a constant umbrella of they're always fighting. I don't know what's going to happen. They might be married. They might not be married. There was never a night that I went to bed thinking, wow, at some point my parents could split up. It just never happened that
way.
That's
got to have been a great
feeling.
I'm
so lucky.
Yeah.
I kind of am also very fortunate and felt that way. I mean, my parents did, you know, of course, fight or didn't get along. But I never thought like, oh, this is the end.
Right. Right.
And I'm very
that's
fortunate
rare.
Because, you know, I don't. Really never had any dealings with divorce in my family. Neither of my grandparents were divorced.
Wow.
None of my aunts and uncles were divorced.
Same with us. I mean, my dad died when I was 10. I had 10 high school girlfriends, and I remember when we graduated from high school, they got all the parents together.
Yeah.
And I was the only one who didn't have a dad due to death.
Yeah.
All right. My other friends' parents were married and not divorced, which is now I think that would be
impossible.
A very different calculation.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think my kids would say the same thing. Terry and I have never been close, not even remotely close. There's never been anything that's happened.
My kids would tell you the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would hope they would.
I just saw something fall down the window.
Something did fall behind you that was really big, Wendy. I have no idea what it was.
I didn't see it.
It looked like a pelican.
It did look like a pelican.
Didn't it?
Yellowish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I saw that peripherally. And
I don't know how you saw it, because you're facing exactly away from
it. And I saw it totally. Was I looking at you, Bill?
Yeah.
You were gazing into Bill's eyes.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, don't say that, though. We'll have rumors of divorce going around here.
12:38, I want it to be known that something, I think it was 12:39.
Something pelican-y fell from the sky. That was so weird that you saw it.
It was Groucho Marx. He lowered the
right. The bird.
Word.
When the bird comes down, you win $50.
That was the color of its sword. I mean, well, we have peripheral vision, and I was looking at Kim at the time.
But that wasn't even peripheral. That was completely behind
you. She has eyes in the back of her head.
I guess you do, Wendy.
Oh my God! I can tell my kids. I really do.
You really do.
To prove my point, all right, sit exactly where you were sitting.
I don't remember.
All right, you were sitting facing like somewhere between Kim and myself. And it see where that beam is behind you?
Yes.
It was just to the right of the beam. So it was, if not exactly behind you, very close to being exactly behind you.
I can still see the
beam. You sensed
the beam.
It, maybe.
Wow.
No, I just caught something fall.
Wow.
And I, you know, it took... This is the how my brain works, okay? It happened pretty quickly, and it kind of amazes me. I was talking to you guys. I saw something peripherally that fell.
Yes.
And it took me a second to go, wait a minute, we're on the 18th floor.
Right.
That's not supposed to be happening.
Right.
That all, look at how quick all the synapses fired, and I looked down, and I can't see anything.
You have the peripheral vision of a decent quarterback in the NFL. I think the game between the Packers and the Bears would have been very different if you were quarterbacking.
Mm-hmm. Doubt it.
It would have been a much closer game. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we would have won, but it wouldn't have been a 10-3 affair.
I have a lot of anxiety in my life, and I'm always aware of what's going on around me, which
right.
is probably why I'm so anxious all the time.
Maybe.
I can see too much.
But that could, I mean... Obviously, in a case like this, it's not going to take your life, but you could be in a situation where something's coming up from behind you. That could save your life, really.
Hang
Good
with
for
me,
you.
Bill. I'll
wow.
take care of you. But I have to
I'm
laugh because I thought I saw something, and then Bill and I communicated because I looked at him like, huh? And he nodded. And
oh,
I'm like,
that was big.
Something just
And I
fell.
Totally missed it, and I'm usually pretty perceptive.
It was... I say pelican size,
That's
but for those of you who don't have a pelican, it's roughly, I would say, 2 feet high and maybe 8 to 10 inches wide.
Wow.
And it was yellow, and it just fell right down behind you.
Yellowish
wow.
cream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow. And that's without you seeing it. Like, I saw it straight on. You saw it from behind, and you nailed it. That's good for you. Wow.
I would make a good witness.
Oh, yeah, you make a great witness. People listening, don't commit your crimes around Wendy, because you will go to the big house.
And I'll see you if you're behind my back.
Yep.
I want to know what that was. It wasn't a body. It wasn't big enough to
no.
be a body.
No.
But it
no.
did. I don't. You know, like I said, we're on the 18th floor, so whatever it was wasn't probably supposed to be falling.
Right, I don't think
no.
it should.
There is. I mean, there is a lot of construction going on around here. So.
But the construction is also in the
right
building
here.
A few blocks down. This was
really?
Right behind
it
us.
It was like maybe, what, 5 to 6 feet away
the
from the window?
Yeah,
on the
roughly
out,
that.
Yeah. Maybe 8 feet.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wendy, I have found because of our topic of the divorce... Well, let's say separation. Maybe they'll work it out.
No, well, I don't know.
Are you going to say divorce?
He filed.
All right.
For divorce. Incompatibility of temperament that made it impossible to live together as husband and wife.
Whose temperament is yours compatible with? Is yours compatible with Jimmy's or with somebody else's?
We have different temperament.
Whose would you say yours is compatible with?
Who in the world?
Yeah. Who that we would know?
Robin Baumgarten.
Is it similar to Robin's? You have the same temperament as Robin?
We
That's
do.
Good.
We're pretty, you know, I'm a little high strung, but I can, I don't know. I don't know. Jim used to be really mellow fellow. He's kind of turned into me, and I've turned more into him. Like, we've kind of reversed roles a little bit now.
Yeah.
Which is not good, because we're used to,
yeah,
you know, who we are, but he...
So when you play good cop, bad cop, who's the good cop and who's the bad cop? Do you do that with the boys ever, where you have to play good cop, bad cop?
Jim's usually the bad cop.
He
still
is.
Yeah.
He is.
I can't. It's hard for me to be bad cop.
Yeah.
What about you?
Temperament-wise, Terry's unflappable. Like, no matter what happens, she reasons it out.
That's
very
me.
Quickly.
I'm
Are unflappable. You like that?
Yeah.
Are you and Stuart kind of similar with temperament or not?
No.
No?
He's more high-strung than I am.
Neither one of you seem high-strung to me.
It
He's
depends
hiding
how
it
you do that, because somebody just said, do you have panic attacks too? I don't. I used to.
Did you?
Not yeah. anything, like every once in a while, it was nothing that was debilitating for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, right.
But somebody has said your temperaments change when you go through menopause, and honestly, that's the premenopause or perimenopause, as it's called. That's when I found myself being more anxious and... Oh. Very flappable.
Yeah, I bet.
And then once it kicked in, I feel like it kind of chilled me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's probably what made Jim go the other way. Seriously,
I bet that's
though.
True.
Because I think as a couple, you do have kind of like a shift.
Yes.
To compensate for the other. Yes.
I think everybody mellows as they get older.
Jim is not mellowing.
Really?
But he's still a baby. He's just turned 50.
Yeah, he is a baby.
But most people mellow when they get older. But don't you know some exceptions where they just get crankier and angrier? Yeah.
And no filters. So my question to you is, what happens to me when I get old?
Oh.
I already have no filters.
Oh. It's going to be fun to watch. Your kids are going to be embarrassed.
Where's the beef? I'm going to be like Clara Peller.
But you must have relatives or neighbors that are older, and they just say, what if I can say anything at this point. What have I got to lose?
I know. My grandmother's 93. She just says whatever she wants.
Yep.
I'm going to do that, but I'm going to try to be nice.
And then you think it's cute, too.
Right.
It is cute when you're an elderly person and you do it. It's not cute when I do it now.
Well, in honor of the separation, possible divorce of the Palins, I found this. These are phrases, how do they say? Phrases, things that no spouse ever wants to hear. So if you're married to somebody, you've been with somebody for a while, and your partner says any of these things, it's not good. All See right. if you agree or disagree. Number one, this before I even read this article, in my head I formulated a couple. I go, well, this better be on the list. And this was number one for me. We need to talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's never going to end well. Right? That's the indicator that there are stormy seas ahead.
Although I said it once to Jim, and all I wanted to do was run past our schedules with one another because I was trying to make an appointment to take the dog in. And he goes, what do you mean we have to talk? I go, we have to talk about our schedule. He goes, then finish the sentence. We have to talk about our schedule.
To back him up a little bit, it sounds like something really bad is coming.
Even my kids get freaked out when I say that. So I'm usually specific. All right, something to keep in
mind. Here's what they say. This is from bestlife.com. Even if you really do need to talk, this isn't a great way to start things off. It always means that there's going to be a very difficult conversation, and it's probably not going to go well. This according to Jill Murray, a PhD and a psychotherapist and author. The fear of the unknown and accompanying dread makes it even worse.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, yep. Here's another one. Tell me if you agree with this one. These are things that you don't want to, if you're in a relationship, you don't want to hear these things. You should know how I'm feeling. That one's not horrible.
But that's a setup.
That is a setup for something bigger, right?
You know what? Tell the person how you're feeling.
Right.
Yeah. Don't be a mind reader.
Right. Well, and you're just egging them on.
Yeah. I don't like that one.
Yeah.
So I agree with this. Don't say that to your spouse.
This one is short but sweet. Relax.
God, that does not work at all for anyone. Calm down or relax. Because if I'm not calm and not relaxed, you telling me to do that is just going to make me more irritated.
Well, it's going to make you just infuriated.
Yep.
I know. It doesn't work.
Yep.
I know. But, you know, we all learn that as we're navigating life. You know, if you have a friend who fell off their... someone stole their bike, you'd be like, okay, calm down, let's think. I mean, that's just like a natural thing to say, but don't say it anymore.
Well, what do they say that you should say instead?
Here's their assessment of it. In the midst of something tense, The word relax from your spouse only ramps things up. This according to Mitzi Bachman, a certified life coach. Heed her advice and avoid this directive at all costs. It doesn't give you anything to substitute, because anything you substitute is going to kind of be a watered-down version of relax.
I have a great idea.
What?
Instead of, like, if I'm upset about something and Jim going, relax, maybe he should say, okay, let's figure this out.
Yes.
Isn't that a good
yes.
one?
Yes. Yeah.
Right, that is a good one. Because if you if you, you know, start going all like psychologist on you and you say, you know, well, calm down,
right.
or, you know, that's just going to aggravate you more.
Right.
Let's figure this out.
I like that. Let's figure this out.
Could you, if somebody said relax to you, start singing the Frankie Goes to Hollywood song?
Relax, after I slap
don't
them.
Do it if you want to get to it, and just keep doing that. But there'd be some slapping.
The only one who I listen to who says relax is Aaron Rodgers. Because he did, when Packer fans were all up in an uproar,
right,
he's like, relax.
It, and he was right.
He was right.
He knew what he was talking about. This can't go well if you say this to your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. You talk too much. There's no way that's going to end well. You talk too much. It says, dismissing your spouse as a chatterbox when they're animated about something is a backhanded way of breaking down communication, an essential component of your relationship. It's completely reasonable to expect to say your piece, but it's never a good idea to tell your spouse that they have to zip it.
Somebody told me to zip
it? Why would you do that?
Even Jim doesn't tell me to do that.
No.
He just walks away or puts his earbuds
in. Is that right?
No, I'm kidding.
You know, it's funny. When my parents used to argue about anything, my mom wanted to argue about it, and my dad wanted to be in different rooms and not argue about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
People have different approaches for arguing. Like, if we have a disagreement at home, whether it be with Jim or the kids, I want to solve it right then and there.
Right.
Like, let's fix it.
Yeah.
And Jim and Dylan are the ones that are like, let me calm down.
Yes.
And then we can do it. But Michael and I will keep going because it's like, no, I want to fix this now so I can move on with my day.
I'm with you. I don't like, it bothers me to have things hanging out there.
Yeah.
I have to like get it done.
Right.
Right. But I understand Jim and Dylan's point of it too. It's like they want to calm down.
Right.
Think about it a little bit.
Which I should probably do more frequently. I mean, sometimes.
Don't you think somewhere in the middle though is the best way to handle it?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't schedule, let's go to neutral corners. We'll meet back here in 20 minutes.
Ding.
You can't do that. Right. That wouldn't work.
Boxing gloves off.
But it just goes to show you how we all process things differently. And it took me a very long time, and I'm still figuring that out, that there are more than one way to do. There's more than one way to do something.
Yes. Yeah. You could say skin a cat. I like when people say skin a cat.
I would never skin a cat.
Takes so long. It's such a mess. Here's another one. I don't know why anyone would say this to somebody that they loved, but during an argument to say, you are just like my ex.
Oh,
why would you bring that into it?
That's really
bad. Fuel on a fire
there.
Absolutely. That's never going to work.
No, I could see you going, you are just like your father or you are just like your mother. But
that would deflate me in a second. If Terry ever said that to me, I'm trying to think if she's ever said that to me, but if she ever said, well, that's something your dad would say or you sound legit, that would just crush me. Game over. You win. I can't fight anymore.
I hope she's listening.
I would fall on the floor.
But that's the sick thing, is that was our first view on parenting, was our parents. So whether I like it or not, I know that I have sometimes been like my mom.
Right.
Sometimes I'll say or do something, I'm like, oh my God, I'm my mother.
It's more self-realization, like, oh my God, I sound like my mom.
Yeah.
I just skipped ahead a couple because the next one they say is what we're talking about now, but with a different twist. They say, this is a phrase that you don't want to hear. You remind me of my mother or father. I'm saying it's worse. I get that one. Like if Terry ever said that about her father, I'd go, wait, I'm exactly the opposite of your father. But if she ever said that about my father, that would crush me.
So it doesn't crush you to compare her to you to her dad?
Because I know in that instance, I'm nothing like her. You couldn't be more 180 degrees different than I am from her dad. We're the exact opposite.
You're pretty different from your dad, too. It's just her vision of you. So
it
doesn't matter which dad. How about
any
don't
dad.
Say that at all?
Right. You remind me of any dad. don't. Come on. But like,
The X is worse. I'm sorry.
Is it? Do you think it's worse? Why is that worse?
Because why should you? Oh, you remind me so much of my ex.
Right, that's a put down.
Yeah.
I mean, genes are genes and your DNA is your DNA. And no matter how hard you try, you still have that person in you and you're going to have a moment or two.
I guess
so. Be it good, be it bad. I mean, I know that sometimes, you know, my mom, I do things like her and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I did that. And other times I'm like, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah.
They all bring out the best and the worst in us.
The ex is a slam.
Well, absolutely.
It also says... You're still thinking about them.
Which
you go, why would you be thinking about them?
Which that's just adding more... Another element to the argument.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Another element to the argument.
Another level.
Tell me if this has ever come up, because this is a poison right here. This is a phrase, if you're just joining us, this is a phrase you don't want to hear. If you're in a relationship and you hear any of these phrases during your... It's not good. You need a better job.
That's not a way to fight. I mean, if you really believe that, you should maybe sit down and go, here, let's talk about some things. I'm looking to do some changes. Those aren't good fighting words.
Right.
Although you just remind me that somebody in my family, and it might have been my mom, her nickname was Little Poison.
Little Poison? Who gave her that
weird
nickname?
Weird nicknames in our family.
That's not a term of endearment.
No.
Why did somebody call your mom Little Poison?
I think when she was little.
Or L-A-L apostrophe.
Little,
Little Debbie?
Yeah, I have to ask my sister. It was either aunt or my mom who was called Little Poison.
Wow.
And I may have been called that once by my mom.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
To what end?
I don't remember what I did.
What came of that?
I really was not that bad of a kid. I had my moments.
Yeah.
I know I swear a lot. I only swore in front of her, I think, one or two times.
Really?
Yeah, because I just, you know, I wanted to show respect.
Yeah.
I'd do a lot behind her back, but it just, you know.
Wow.
I was not that bad. But, you know, parents always expect more from their kids.
Right.
And things were different then.
Right. Well, you were the roughest of the three, though, of your brother, sister, and yourself.
Well,
you probably
maybe my brother, but he was a boy, so he could get difference. Away with it.
Yeah. There's built-in grief with the boys, right? Yeah.
Yes.
If it this would not work. If you don't like it, leave. Oh.
Yeah, but you don't mean
horrible.
That. That is not.
That's horrible.
No one who, maybe I've said it. I sure haven't meant it.
Yeah.
Somebody would really say, if you don't like it, leave.
I can't imagine a situation where I would say to Terry, well, if you don't like it, there's the door. That's the kind of thing a parent says to a kid. And even as you're saying it, you're going, but please, but don't use the door. But it's there. But don't use it.
Like it or lump it, as my mom said to me, which I don't even know what that means.
That doesn't mean anything. Every parent used to say that.
Remember that?
You've never heard that, Kim?
Like it or lump it.
Yeah.
What, are you going to punch me and give me lumps? I don't even know what the lump it is. What's a lump it?
I don't know why there's a lump in there. My mom would say that quite often.
Yeah, so it was a big thing when we were growing up.
My dad always used the famous Bill Cosby line. I brought you into this
and
world,
I'll take you out. Yeah.
That's so funny, the like it or lump it. I don't even know what it means.
Never heard that.
Oh, we have a meaning and an origin, but we might have to talk about it tomorrow.
Oh.
Will that help people?
Cliffhanger.
I like it.
Cliffhanger.
Remind me to talk about
this. All right. Cliffhanger ending, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the cliffhanger.
Thank goodness
ending.
I'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah,
oh,
Kim.
It's real quick. I can do
it. All right,
go ahead.
And
I was right. It's an unpleasant set of an unpleasant outcome that one has no choice but to accept.
Oh.
One can either endure it willingly or endure it with suffering.
And that's the lump.
So like it or lump it. I was right.
So lump it like L-U-M-P, then space I-T?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, not like one word, lump it. We did make it sound like
I thought it was like a crumpet or a lumpet or
The Incredible Mr. Lumpet. That's my favorite Don Knotts movie. All right,
no cliffhanger, but Kim, we'll do other fun stuff
tomorrow. We got other stuff.
People might drop from the sky tomorrow.
Yeah, we gotta find we can do an update on what that was.
Right,
a jewel bag.
I don't know, it was big.
Kim, maybe you can see Russia from your house.
Maybe. Thank you, Kim, for hanging out. We'll close things off next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Good night.
So remind me, Wendy, there will or will not be a cliffhanger on tomorrow's show. We solved what like it or lump it means, but we didn't solve the giant object that fell from the sky during the show.
And as I mentioned, it was maybe the color of a jewel bag, like a beige-ish yellow.
Yeah.
But it's not like it floated down. It fell like a sack of potatoes.
Straight on down. Yeah.
Maybe it was a sack of potatoes.
That it could have been a sack of potatoes.
That's about the size of it.
Yeah. What is today, September 10th? This is about the time of year people start throwing sacks of potatoes off the tops of buildings, right?
We'll try ritual. And get an answer for you tomorrow.
We'll figure it out. Thanks, everybody, for listening. See you at the same time tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
Bolton is bolting.
It's catching on.
All right.
People are saying it. Bye.
See you, Bill.